Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Max is away. Steve Thompson sitting in tonight until 9. Moose Miller in for Jordana between 9 and 11 tonight here on CCO. Al Malmberg follows the news at 11. And we've got a couple of headlines. Of course, Jimmy Butler met the media. You heard that during the news. And the fans out at Mall of America today. And we've got more coverage at WCCO.com. And then as well, Timberwolves.com, the radio home of the Wolves. News Radio 830 WCCO. So it was a great day out there. And sounded good. And then I loved Jimmy Butler's interview with Chad Hartman. You can check that out at play.it. Just go to play.it, search Chad Hartman. You'll find it under today's date. It'll be there for you to enjoy. One of my favorite guys in the whole wide world, John Millay, joins me on the line from far away, typically somewhere here in the state of Minnesota, but he is really on the road right now. John, where are you?
Steve, my friend, I'm in Providence, Rhode Island, which is the site this year of the national convention of the National Federation of State High School Associations. That's a mouthful. But every year in the summer, the people from the governing bodies of high school activities and athletics all over the country, all 50 states, we gather together, and there's workshops and speakers and other things going on. And we had a great, great event today. One of the highlights of this conference is a big ceremony where two major awards are granted. One of the older of the two is called the Spirit of Sport Award, and each state can nominate a team or a student, an athlete, a community, and that one's been going on for many years. And a rather new one is the Heart of the Arts Award. And that's, I think that one's 4 years old, to honor students or faculty members or anybody involved in the arts, speech, debate, plays, music. And for the first time ever, both winners of these awards came from Minnesota this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a huge thing. So the Spirit of Sport Award winner is from Moose Lake, Danny Lilia. He'll be a junior in the fall. Danny was born with a broken back and has been in a wheelchair his entire life. But the dude's a crazy four-sport athlete, and he's the place kicker on the football team. He wheels out in his wheelchair, gets down on the ground on his knees, and is the holder. And he plays sled hockey. His mom and dad were telling us tonight he's tried to downhill ski. Nothing scares this kid, and it's really inspiring. And in the Heart of the Arts Award, our winner is from Vanilla St. Margaret. She just graduated, Josie Ross, and she's involved in theater in many ways and has done – there's just no way we could explain everything she's done, you know, humanitarian things to help people, you know, people with hearing problems. You know, have sign language interpreters at performances. She's going to do great things. Both of these kids are remarkable. And tonight, all of our staff from the high school league and our board members who are here, we just finished a big group dinner with the two winners and their families. Everybody is here. And really a wonderful way to celebrate activities and athletics in Minnesota on a national level. And the comments from people around the country about these two individuals, just phenomenal. The National Federation sends a video crew out. They did this, I think, in May. Spent a day in Moose Lake. Spent a day at Vanilla with Josie, and really these professional videos that kick off each award and brings tears to your eyes to see what these kids have accomplished and are accomplishing. So, a really, really special day for Minnesotans here in Providence, Rhode Island today.
Yeah, they just sound like great human beings and great families. And, you know, John, you've covered high school activities for a long, long time. I've covered high school activities for a long, long time. These are great stories. This is what being involved, being in sports, being in any sort of co-curricular activity is all about. It does so much for our community and so much for these young people.
It sure does. I was sitting next to Josie Ross's parents at dinner tonight, and her dad and I were talking about the generation that's coming up, and he's kind of like me. He likes to tell people who are concerned about the younger generation, don't be worried. These kids are phenomenal. They do great things, and it's not just athletic success. It's, you know, doing things for other people and just trying to make the world a better place one person at a time. And these two, Danny and Josie, holy mackerel, they just, you know, smiles on their faces 24/7 and concerned about everybody around them. And I think Danny's mom said on the video about Danny that he's more than a glass is half full. His glass is full. You know, he feels very fortunate to be able to do what he does, and I know Josie's the same way. It's beyond inspiring what kids like that mean.
Yeah, and, you know, when you think about it, here's a kid in a chair and looks at life in a way that, you know, a lot of us could learn from.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and Danny has said how lucky he feels, how fortunate he is to have the opportunities and to be in a great community like Moose Lake where he's just one of the kids in school. He's like everybody else. He's a multi-sport athlete. He works out in the weight room. You know, he's at football practice and never misses it. Last time I saw him before this week was at the state track meet. He competed in some wheelchair events at the state track meet. They were talking about the one time he did some cross-country skiing, believe it or not. Some, like, national-level USA skiing people saw him, and they immediately wanted him to come to Colorado in the winter and be part of a national kind of a sled skiing team or something like that. I didn't get all the details, but his dad laughed and said, well, we told him, if that's in the summer, that's okay. But Danny's a serious sled hockey player. The Minnesota Wild sponsor a sled hockey team. And Danny's like the youngest member of that team by far. And that's a winter sport and they travel all over the place. So it's amazing, you know, from Moose Lake to Benilde and everywhere in between, these great things happen at all our schools. And it's really neat to celebrate things like this to people from across the country.
Now, I would assume we'll see a story at John's Journal at the High School League website at some point.
You just might. Right. Steve. And I sent on Twitter some live Periscope video of the awards this afternoon. And I'll put some photos of the awards on the MSHSL Facebook page later on tonight here. And it's just quite a deal. It's hard to capture with photos and even video. It's hard to do it justice when there's, I don't know, 600 people at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, which is the basketball arena in downtown Providence, where the Providence University team plays basketball, and they have a minor league hockey team here that plays there. But that's where this event took place. And you've got these 600 people just in awe of these two kids from Minnesota. And it's just neat. I'll have a hard time, you know, my memory banks topping something like this for us Minnesotans on a national level.
Yeah, great stuff for sure. And John, a meeting like this, beyond the awards ceremony, what are some of the things that are discussed? What are some of the topics on the agenda?
Sure, they have different workshops, seminar-type things tomorrow morning. I'll be doing a workshop with one of my friends from the Colorado High School Association. We're gonna do an hour in a ballroom with the focus is on social media and sportsmanship, and we've got a lot of PowerPoint things and videos to show. We're gonna talk about promoting sportsmanship using social media and things like John's Journal, how we try to highlight all the great things. And like Kevin Merkel from our office, he's gonna be doing a workshop at the same time on the recruiting and retaining of officials. And there are workshops and roundtable discussions about, you know, centering on every sport that's offered across the country. So different people from our office who run the different sports are all involved in those. So it's some pretty packed days here with, you know, sessions where everybody's together like we were this afternoon for these awards. And if Gophers basketball fans remember a guy named Walter Bond, he's now a speaker who travels around the country at our closing session Sunday afternoon. Walter Bond will be the featured speaker. He'll spend 45 minutes or an hour talking to these 600 people from high school groups around the country. So this trip here in Providence, we got a pretty strong Minnesota angle to this thing.
Yeah, and John, I'm surprised that you're out there doing this stuff because you're really close to the ocean. I thought you'd be at the beach. Good for you.
Well, there might be some free time built in here, Steve. There just might. Some of the people here, my wife and I didn't get here in time, but some of the people from Minnesota were at Fenway Park last night to see the Twins play. Some people have been here a couple days already. They were there for the long rain-delayed game a couple nights ago. So my wife has informed me that Newport, Rhode Island, which has many of these century-old mansions, is not far from Providence. So we may see the sights at Newport while we're still in the great state of Rhode Island.
Yeah, I've heard there's a few bucks in Newport. Yeah.
Apparently so. We're going to do some investigative journalism and see what we can find.
Well, John, it'll be familiar. I mean, the neighborhood you live in, it's all big mansions. So,
the gilded age. That's what we call my neighborhood. Absolutely, my suburban neighborhood. Yeah, well, the Newport of Minnesota.
Yeah, there you go. Well, John, great news. Two young people from Minnesota winning great awards out there at that meeting. Enjoy your stay and safe travels.
Thanks, Steve. It's always great talking to you. Thanks for everything you do.
All right, there he is, John Millay from the Minnesota State High School League out there in Providence, Rhode Island. And once again, it is the annual meeting of the National Federation of State High School Associations. And John getting some important work in out there. It is 8:19. We'll go out to Canterbury Park and talk to our good buddy Jeff Madej in a moment. 8:23 on a Thursday night. Steve in for Mike. Mike Max is away. Kevin Reed, our studio coordinator tonight. The insane inflatable 5K is coming to town in just a few weeks, and you and your crew are invited to the bounce party. Fitness can be fun. Find out how and register early to take advantage of special savings at insaneinflatable5k.com. The Insane Inflatable 5K. Could I ride a bike? I think I could make 5K in a bike. That's about it. All right. Let's go out to Canterbury Park. Our good buddy Jeff Madej joins us here. Jeff, have you ever run a 5K?
I once in college, I did, after a long night out, I did, and it was, and right now I could probably do a 5K in a taxi cab, and that would be it.
That's right. I was thinking bike, and then I'm like, ooh, I don't know. That's kind of far, 5K on a bike, for sure. Maybe a motorized bike I could do 5K.
You might make that. You got to admire people that can go out and run. I've never been able to run. Can't do it.
I talked to John Folkey, who calls Lynx games and, of course, is part of the Timberwolves proceedings here on CCO in season. And he is one of these ultra-marathon guys. It is not uncommon for him to do a race that's over 50 miles. He did one up on Lake Superior that was over 100 miles.
That's unbelievable.
It's insane. Canterbury, big holiday weekend, a lot going on. I know Thursday nights are huge.
Yeah, we've got a nice crowd, right, and really nice crowd tonight. You know, the sun kind of peaked out for a little bit, and we have 6,000-7,000 people here. I just saw Coach Richard Pitino. He's out here with the Golden Dunkers celebrating and getting ready for next season, but he was just down in the winner's circle after the last race. So it's always good. You never know who you're going to run into at Canterbury Park. That's kind of the beauty of being out here.
Yeah, and I heard they had a 98% season ticket renewal rate for Golden Gopher Hoops. That was a story in sports today. But there is a lot going on this holiday weekend. As a matter of fact, Monday the 3rd and the 4th, so a Monday and Tuesday at Canterbury.
Yeah, this is a rarity. 6 consecutive race days for us. So we're going to run a lot of races. I think 62 races over these 6 days. So we're not going to leave people wanting for racing by the time it's done. But you're right. We've got a lot of different things going on. We race tonight and then tomorrow evening as well. We come back with a Saturday and Sunday afternoon program. Then the 3rd of July, which, year in and year out is probably our biggest crowd. I think last year we had 21,000 people.
Wow.
We start at 4 o'clock. We'll run 10 or 11 races. We get done around 9:15. We let things kind of settle down, and then we have a fireworks show. So we get a jump on everyone else. And you've been out to Canterbury. You know how close the tote board is to the grandstand. That's where the fireworks come from. So they're almost right over your head. It's pretty amazing. And if you've never seen it, I like fireworks, I guess, but usually you're sitting out in the field somewhere and across a football field, there they are flying up. Here they're right overhead. So people really, it's really became popular once we started doing it. That's a big night. Then we come back on the 4th of July with another another big day of racing, and what brings them in are the free hot dogs. 21,000, I guess, is what we gave away last year. 21,000 hot dogs were consumed, and we'll have a huge crowd. But it's a really a fun weekend, and it's just something for everybody, really.
Oh, for sure, and that's a long stretch for everybody that works at the track. You're gonna need a little downtime.
Yeah, it's probably for us humans, it's fine, but horses only run every couple of weeks, 2 to 3
right.
weeks. So after we run, and we're running 62 races, so that's going to use up a lot of the horses. They are going to get a break. We actually won't resume racing until the 13th of July, which means we'll still be open with a card club. We'll still have simulcast racing, but I might actually have a weekend off in the summer. And I'm confused about what I would do with a weekend off in the summer with no racing. So if anyone has suggestions, just shoot me an email, because I really am at a loss here.
By the way, I can't believe you didn't bring it up, though, on the 4th. Corgi and Wiener Dogs in a warm-up race on the 4th, along with the free hot dogs. I love it.
The Corgi race, and that one blew us away last year. We'd done the Wiener Dog races forever. We added Bulldogs a few years ago. A young lady in our marketing department suggested, she was a big Corgi fan, she said, let's do the Corgis. So we roll it out last year, Corgis and Cupcakes. We have some local bakeries come in. We've got the Corgis racing. We think, okay, if we get 8,000, this would be a good day. We had close to 17,000 people on hand for the Corgis. You couldn't find a cupcake in the building. Everything was gone. People went nuts. I just checked our website. We had a Corgi video on YouTube. 350,000 views on that thing. And there was another site that picked it up and ran it on their website. They had over 2 million views. So I couldn't have picked a Corgi out of a lineup last year. I had no idea what they were, and now I'll never forget them. So we'll give them a little teaser on the 4th of July, and then we have our big Corgi dog all day long mixed between racing on July 29th, and I think that'll be popular again. So, that's the great thing about, in your business and in our business, we try different things. The marketing departments throw things out there, and sometimes they really work, and this was one that caught us by surprise. I mean, the dog races and those kind of things are always popular, as is the horse racing, of course. But you just never know. Sometimes you have a good day and get run over, and that's what happened last year. So that will be fun. And they do like the we'll have a hot dog eating contest, by the way, Steve. And if you're out here, I can probably juice you into that hot dog eating contest if you're interested.
I think I could do well at that. I have skills there.
Yeah, we can't run 5Ks. We can't walk a 5K, but you and I could eat the hot dogs.
Yeah,
no problem.
For sure. By the way, I think Queen Elizabeth II, the Queen, is a big fan of Corgi.
Yeah, I think it is. It does have a big British following.
Oh, yeah.
What I could tell. So, maybe next year we invite the Queen over and just see. Maybe she'll come out. You never know.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
And she loves horse racing. So who knows? The Corgi races, Canterbury, the Queen, you should throw it out there. Why not?
Yeah. I think we will extend an invitation next year, and at least someone from the royal family should come over for sure.
So. All right, Jeff, once again, a big fireworks show on Monday night, the 3rd, and then, of course, the live meet continues on the 4th. Always great. By the way, the website, canterburypark.com. Before letting you go, get us up to date on the meet so far. How's it? Is it exceeded expectations? The quality of the racing, et cetera. Give us your read on that.
The quality of the racing has been great. We've actually had a decent weather summer so far. Last year, you'll recall, it rained so often. That always hurts, the field size, because you get horses that scratch that won't run in the mud and you come off the turf. This year it's been great weather. Our field size, I think we're up like almost a horse and a half per race, which is a lot when you multiply that over a 10-race card. So that's really been good. The crowd has been great because we are so weather-dependent with our real casual fans. So right now, everything is looking really good, as is the handle. The money being bet not just at Canterbury but around the country. People are really supporting our race meet. So that's fun to see. And this is, it's been our 24th season, 23rd season since we reopened. And it's going to be a good one. I've got a really good feeling about this year.
All right. The weather looks really good for this weekend. Once again, especially starting Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday look spectacular. So it should be great at the track, Jeff.
Well, we'll pack them in. That's good to hear. We need the good weather forecast for sure.
All right, Jeff, take care.
Thank you very much.
All right, there he is, Jeff Madej, Canterbury Park. Once again, a big holiday weekend at the track. CanterburyPark.com is the website. 8:32, we'll have the weather in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
6-3 in the seventh. Twins trying to salvage a split in that four-game series tonight. Meanwhile, it's over at Yankee Stadium. New York City Football Club defeats Minnesota United FC 3-1. Loons lose tonight 3-1 in New York. They return home. The Columbus Crew on Tuesday night, TCF Bank Stadium. That is a 6 o'clock, so a 4th of July game. Minnesota and Columbus, MLS at TCF Bank Stadium. Once again, Tuesday night, the 4th. One other sports headline. I didn't get to it earlier. Louisville's Brendan McKay won the USA Baseball Golden Spikes Award today as the top amateur baseball player, the first Louisville player and fifth ACC player to win the award. McKay has started for the Cardinals as both a pitcher and a hitter. As a pitcher this year, is 8-3, his ERA 2.23, 116 strikeouts in 85 innings. Over his three-year collegiate career, 32-10, ERA 2.23, 391 strikeouts, the most ever for a Louisville pitcher. He was drafted 4th overall by Tampa Bay and agreed to a $7 million signing bonus. So he's got the big award and a signing bonus of $7 million. You think the kid bought a new car? I would think he did. 74 degrees, cloudy, variable winds at 5. Sports to the Max continues. We'll talk NASCAR. We'll talk motorsports. Jordan Bianchi joins us in a moment. 18 minutes now before 9, 8:42 here at CCO. Quick look at that radar again. Heavy rain along I-90 in southern Minnesota. No severe weather, but if you're on the road, say between Jackson and Albert Lea, you're getting rained on. Heavy stuff in the area of Blue Earth over toward Albert Lea. We've seen some severe weather down in Iowa tonight, but no severe weather. There are some scattered shower activity from the cities out toward Wilmer and beyond, out toward the Montevideo Granite Falls area. And that may move through the Twin Cities area, but the heaviest rain well to the south, really from Mankato down toward I-90 and into northern Iowa. We'll continue to keep an eye on it for you here at CCO. But once again, no severe weather expected with that. And here, just maybe a shower here and there. All right, let's talk motorsports. Jordan Bianchi covers motorsports for SBNation.com. And we're going to talk Daytona annually around the 4th of July and the second show of the year at the Super Speedway. And Jordan, this one, I've never been to Daytona. But the people I've talked to say it can just be downright steamy at Daytona for this July race. That it's a good thing they run it at night.
It is downright steamy. It's thick. You can see the humidity. It's muggy. It's very swamp-like conditions. They used to run the race actually at 10 in the morning because they wanted to get it done. This was before Daytona had lights, obviously. Yeah. They ran it at 10, got done by 1, so it wasn't really in the heat of the day, and you're on the beach by the afternoon. They smartened up. They added lights, and it helps a little bit, but now you got to deal with the thunderstorms because it's summer in July down here in Daytona, and you're going to get those big thunderstorms that roll through. So it's always one of those races that sometimes starts at about 8:30, 9 o'clock late at night, sometimes even the next day because of the rain and the weather.
Yeah, the old Firecracker 400. Before we get into Dale Earnhardt Jr. and his final crack at Daytona, let's talk about some of the other news in the sport. Chase Elliott has signed an extension with Hendrick. Really no surprise there. This kid's on the brink of great things. He seems to be in the mix just about every week.
He is. I mean, they signed to be Jeff Gordon's heir apparent to drive the 24 car when Gordon retired, and he's really fulfilled the expectations really well. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year last year. As you said, he's on the brink of winning. He's running well every week. He's in the playoffs mix again. This is a driver who great things have been projected about him, and it looks like he's going to fulfill that. And Hendrick wisely locked him up. He's going to be there through 2022 and really gives that team a linchpin along with Jimmy Johnson for the next three, 4 years to build forward. As we know, they have some uncertainty now with the other other two teams. We've talked about Casey Kane before, who continually underperforms, and obviously Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to retire. So Hendricks in good shape, though. They've got two top-tier talents, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, and you figure that there are a lot of options, ultimately, who's going to take over the 88 and who could take over the 5. That's not a foregone conclusion. But I'd imagine there would be a lot of drivers lining up for a ride at Hendrick.
It is. I mean, it's a top-tier ride where you can contend for a championship, win lots of races, and expectations are high. You have to perform there, and that's where Casey Kane's kind of running into now. He hasn't been able to perform. Obviously, there's a lot of names bandied about. You know, Matt Kenseth's been the hot name as of late. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. And Hendrick's got a couple of young drivers in the pipeline, too. William Byron and Alex Bowman, who does some things with the team behind the scenes a little bit in terms of testing and everything. Hendrick's got options. I mean, it's when you're that kind of team, you can kind of pick and choose who you want. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out.
But no chance Jeff Gordon runs the 88 or the 5 next year.
Not on a full-time basis. Okay. If someone got hurt and they needed a driver for a race or two, okay. I wouldn't be surprised to see Gordon back there maybe for one or two races, but not on a full-time basis.
All right, let's get into a week. Go Wine Country in Sonoma, and Kevin Harvick goes to victory lane.
It is a big win for him. He's been really well this year. Kind of a little bit of a slow start because they switched from Chevrolet to Ford this year, but they've kind of shook out those bugs and really kind of rounding into form. He's one of those drivers who are overdue for a win. We've talked about Kyle Busch before. They just keep putting themselves in position. Things haven't gone Harvick's way like they haven't gone for Busch. Harvick capitalized last week, though, and really looks like the driver who he's been since he's joined Stewart Haas Racing in 2014, which is a championship contender. He looks really good on every kind of track, and Daytona's a really good track for him as well. So really, kind of the breakthrough this team needed is going to be probably interesting to see if they can carry this momentum through the summer now.
Yeah, Clint Bowyer, a good Ronnie, ended up finishing second. Here's a guy who was just in the hinterlands in a non-competitive car a year ago, and we brought up Clint before. This guy is one of the true characters of the sport, and it's good to see him in a competitive ride because I think he's good for NASCAR, and you need a competitive Clint Bowyer, and he's a quote machine. He seems to be a funny guy. I mean, this is really good news.
It is, and you're 100% right about being a character. If people ask me, you know, who's the next driver that's going to host Saturday Night Live like Jeff Gordon? I always say Clint Bowyer, and they're like, who? And I'm like, Clint Bowyer. He's actually pretty good. But especially late at night after he wins a race, he has a couple few adult beverages, and he ends up tweeting and stuff. It's hilarious. He has a personality, and he had a couple bad years with some bad teams, and now he's with a good team, and he's done well. I mean, he's had two second-place finishes this year. He's right on the playoff bubble right now. He's in. He's going to need some more good runs to solidify that, though. But like you said, this is a driver that NASCAR needs. They need characters. They need personalities, and he is certainly not lacking in either department.
All right, on to Daytona. Dale Earnhardt Jr., this is his final trip around Daytona. Of course, a track that's meant so much to the Earnhardt family. It cost him his dad's life. He died at Daytona in the 500. I'll still never forget that day, and a lot of race fans will never forget that day. But Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been very successful at Daytona and would love to get to victory lane in his final shot.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's a lot of highs and a lot of lows in Daytona for the Earnhardt family. And recently, it's been a good place for Earnhardt Jr. He's got a win in this race 2 years ago. He's won the Daytona 500 in 2014. And now he comes in here probably for his last time. We don't know. He kind of left the door open a little bit last week. But it looks like this is probably going to be his last time in a Cup car. And he really needs not just a good finish. He needs a win. If he's going to make the playoffs, the position he is in the standings, he can't get in on points. It's going to have to be through win. And this is his absolute best track to do it. He struggled a little bit in the restrictor plate races the last few years, though. He hasn't had the success he used to having in 2016, 2017, so he's going to have to find his mojo a little bit. But if you can do it in his last race at Daytona, that would be quite memorable.
Yeah, and are there any signs, Jordan, that they're getting it turned around? There's just been so much turmoil, as you pointed out, a lack of consistency. You never know. I probably have a pretty good car under him at Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, if you give Earnhardt a good car, he knows how to do something with it at Daytona. He hasn't liked the aero package they've used the last few years, and that's kind of slowed him a little bit. You know, it talked about consistency a little bit. They're coming off their best two finishes back-to-back. They had two top-10 finishes the last 2 weeks at Michigan and Sonoma. You know, if that means anything, it certainly can't hurt. But they need more than that, though. And you look at the laps led. He's only led 10 laps all year. that's not a driver who's up front and leading and putting himself in position to capitalize. Like I said, if he's going to win, he could do it. I mean, he's at Daytona. This is his track. It's certainly a possibility. But he's going to have to go all out, too. And that's the big thing is they have nothing to lose. I mean, they don't have to worry about points. This is a must-win, all-or-nothing situation for him. And we've seen a lot of drivers thrive in that. So they have a really good shot to do that again Saturday night.
Yeah, well, what about his plans for next year? Have those been solidified and what actually he's going to be doing? You know he's going to be involved in the sport. Has that been firmed up yet?
Nothing formalized. He's got his Xfinity Series team. He's still going to be heavily involved in running that on a day-to-day basis. And he's going to do some TV work. You know, whether that's with Fox or NBC is still to be determined. But he's going to probably be in the broadcast booth, you know, broadcasting half the races. That seems to be something he's really interested in. He's been quite good in the few times he's done it. So he's still going to have a role. He also wants to have kind of like this godfather role that Jeff Gordon kind of has now in the sport, where NASCAR goes to Gordon and they ask him about different rules, ideas, and different things and how they can improve the sport. You're probably going to see Earnhardt have that similar type relationship with NASCAR, where he's offering a lot of feedback about the direction going forward.
Well, most popular driver, how many years in a row? And then you have Jeff Gordon, who in his own way has a legion of fans. NASCAR needs to keep these guys involved.
Absolutely, and then they're doing that. I mean, Gordon is obviously doing TV work. He's involved in the team ownership, and you're probably going to see him take a stronger role in that over the next few years. So they're still going to be around, and they still have the legion of fans, and it's good because you need to help bridge that gap a little bit, and you see that with Earnhardt. He's really helping Chase Elliott, you know, kind of, you know, get acclimated and becoming more known among fans and everything, and that's kind of what NASCAR needs. They need the older drivers to help the younger drivers, and that's certainly the case with Earnhardt and Gordon.
All right, we can see the playoffs from here. It's coming up quick.
It is. It's going to be interesting, too, now, because we've got 10 winners this season, and there's only 16 slots, and it's sharp shaping up now because you've got Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer among the drivers who don't have wins, and we're at a track at Daytona. We've seen surprise winners before. The spots are starting to get narrower, and there's a large group of guys who won consistently before that haven't won this season. It's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, because you get a surprise winner on Saturday night or maybe down the road at Watkins Glen, the other road course race. It's going to get really interesting really quick.
All right, Jordan, always great. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, there he is, Jordan Bianchi, covers motorsports and NASCAR for SBNation.com. 74 degrees here in the Twin Cities, cloudy skies, variable winds at 5. Maybe a shower here in the cities, definitely rain south of the Twin Cities. The Maplewood Toyota time is 8:52. When you need a new car or truck, it's time to check out MaplewoodToyota.com first. 9:05, all the news and weather at 9. Moose in between 9 and 11 tonight. Al follows the news and weather at 11 here on News Radio 830 WCCO. How about this? WCCO and Secondhand Hounds are bringing you a summer brewery series, Hops for Hounds. Join us at Sisyphus Brewing Company in Minneapolis for happy hour from 4 to 7 next Thursday, that's Thursday, July 6th, and bring your pups along. A portion of the proceeds go directly to support Secondhand Hounds. Have a brew and help with their mission to find permanent homes for animals all over the Twin Cities. The summer brewery tour is sponsored by the Lupien Automotive Group. Great cause. In New York, the Loons lose to New York City Football Club 3-1. They return home and host the Columbus Crew on the 4th at TCF Bank Stadium. That's a 6 o'clock start. A Lynx, they're on the road in Phoenix. Earlier in the program, we visited with John Folkey as they get ready for that rivalry game. Of course, the Lynx atop the WNBA standings. They return home next Thursday night, and they'll battle second place L.A. at the Xcel Energy Center. So a big one next Thursday night in St. Paul, and the Twins trail 6-3. And either we got a bad TV or my eyes are leaving me. 6-3 in the eighth, I believe. Right, Kev? 6-3 in the eighth? Boy, I had to squint. I haven't done that in years. I had the surgery a number of years ago, and it's been great. I want to blame the TV here in the studio for being out of focus. I know at some point, though, I'm going to need readers. Because if we're out to eat and it's a little dim, I need to get out the phone and turn on the flashlight to read the menu. I think that's a sign that I need readers.
Well, just make sure you wear them like all the old baseball players, way down on the end of your nose. They wear them all the way on the end of the nose. And then that way, oh, I only need them for this. And then I look out over them otherwise, because heaven forbid they get caught wearing glasses as former Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, I really don't have a problem driving. Like, I had to renew my driver's license the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was coming up on the deadline rapidly. I'm not going to give away my birthday on the air, but it's coming up rapidly. And I had to go in. And I went to a place where I work, and I work during the week out in Eden Prairie. So I went out to the DMV in Chanhassen. It was a breeze. I mean, I was in and out in 10 minutes. Who's in and out in 10 minutes at the DMV?
I know.
I pass the eye test. I'm ready to go. And, of course, she said, so do you wear contacts or corrective lenses? And I said, no, I had the surgery.
I went under the laser.
I went under the laser a number of years ago. And it worked out just great. So, but like I say, I think I'm going to need, and at the time they warned me, that I might need readers at some point in time. All right, 74 degrees, cloudy, variable winds at 5 miles an hour, our dew point 59. Another quick check of that radar. The real heavy stuff down along I-90 in southern Minnesota, we may see a stray shower move through the Twin Cities area, so don't be surprised. But once again, the real heavy stuff along I-90 in southern Minnesota, if you're headed that way or driving on I-90 tonight. We'll have the news and then Moose.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.